This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185, and we're most certainly glad to have you in here with us tonight. We've got a great program. Joining me live again tonight is Brother Arnold out of Conyers, Georgia. Brother Arnold, we're glad to have you aboard tonight, brother.
Hey, I'm glad to be here again, Brother Buddy, and I think you said you're going to make peace. Copies of these sessions here. I think you're going to have three of them. Is that right?
That is correct, my
three
friend.
Our sessions. And people, you need to listen carefully to what we present and then judge for yourself. And then you can, I'm sure, get a copy of these tapes from Brother Buddy and everything. Because, you know, there's a lot of controversy. Because either we're right or the adversary is right, and we need to go into the scripture. Talk is cheap, Brother Buddy. We need to go into scripture and see what the scripture says, and let him be true and every man be a liar.
Amen, brother. You know, Brother Arnold, you know, it's so wonderful. The Bible says that these things were written that you might know and believe. And the Bible says, like the Bereans in Acts 17, it said to earnestly contend for the faith also and to search the scriptures daily. And Brother Arnold, somebody that doesn't search, it's evident when they speak. You can hear it, the lack of understanding. And you know, the Bible said a fool is known by the utterance of his mouth. And so if you'll listen long enough to someone that hasn't studied deep enough, you'll know that they're, you know, the Bible says they study enough to get into a way that seems right. And the Bible would tell you that the end thereof is death. And, you know, it's so sad that people can't understand this.
Well, let me say this. They got what they call a straw man approach. What they do, people do this all the time to us. They'll say, well, here's a straw man approach. What they'll do, they'll say, well, them lunar Sabbatarians believe that the new moon is a Sabbath. We don't say the new moon is a Sabbath.
We've never preached that, Brother Arnold.
We believe it's a worship day.
Right.
Like the weekly Sabbath is. But it's not a strict no work day. But here's a straw man, what they do, they create a straw man and then they attack him because, you know, straw men can't defend themselves.
Exactly.
So what they do, they say that we believe the new moon is a Sabbath, and then they'll go over and show the scripture where Moses reared up the tabernacle on the new moon.
Right.
Yeah, it was working out, wouldn't matter if it was or not. But there's other places where they numbered Israel on the new moon day, and there's other places where they traveled on the new moon. As a matter of fact, one of the 7 days march around Jericho, we believe, was on the new moon, but it's not strict like a Sabbath. Now, one of the problems they have, but then anyhow, once they show somebody, tell them that we believe this, and then prove that, say, look here, it couldn't be a Sabbath because they're doing this and that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We never claim the new moon, and we never claim that the weekly Sabbath ain't the seventh day of the week. That's the day that he rested on the seventh day. We make that clear, but we believe it's the eighth day of the month.
let me show you something, Brother Buddy. I don't know if people know about this or not, but the Battle of Jericho, Yahweh told Moses and them to rise up, or Joshua, rather, I'm sorry, and they were going to march around the walls for six consecutive days.
Okay.
And then on the seventh day, they were going to march around it seven times. Now, there you got 7 days. One of them had to be a weekly Sabbath the way they keep.
Correct.
Saturday Sabbath. One of them had to be a battle march, carrying the ark and all of their battle gear, marching around Jericho, preparing battle and all this on the weekly Sabbath. Well, this ain't Yahweh was doing.
Yahweh
don't do that. Now, here's what, with Lunar Sabbath, how it works.
Right.
On the new moon day, the first day of the month, they could have marched around it one time, then they could have marched around it for 6 days, and that would bring them to the sixth day of the month. And so far, they're not marching on a weekly Sabbath. And then on the seventh day of the month, they could have marched around it 7 times.
Right.
But then, the eighth day, they would have rested because it's the weekly Sabbath, because it comes after 6 work days.
Correct.
So, well, how are you going to have a Sabbath on the eighth day? You can have a Sabbath on the eighth day of the month. Their Sabbath falls on the fifth day of the month sometimes.
That is correct.
And the tenth day of the month. And they think that it can't happen. But listen, with Lunar Sabbath, the Jericho March wouldn't be breaking Yahweh's law because he wouldn't have a marching around there on the weekly seventh day, the Lunar Sabbath.
That is
but
correct.
With their Sabbath, they got the children of Israel not only working. See, Sabbath's real strict. You don't even carry nothing in and out of your house on the Sabbath day. He ain't having them offensive battle march here. Now, defending yourself would be a different story, but here's here they got them marching on the weekly Sabbath day. And there's no way for them to get out of that.
That is true.
You understand what I'm saying? But on with that, and guess what? We can prove from the book of Jasher that Yahweh spoke to Joshua on the new moon day and told him to rise up and march around Jericho, and the march began on the new moon day.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you mean to tell me that our Heavenly Father commanded Joshua on the new moon day to start this encounter against Jericho and the walls?
Right. On the first day of the month, they marched, and it's recorded there in the book of Jasher. Of course, the scripture speaks of the book of Jasher twice there, and it's the book of the just is what Jasher means, the just. Well, see, ain't it strange that we got evidence that this march began, and see, that way they wouldn't be marching on the weekly Sabbath, which is the eighth day of the month.
Right.
But they marched around it 6 days. See, let me say this, and people need to get this. Ezekiel 46:1, now listen carefully. Yahweh is the creator of days, and he knows that there's different category of days. Now listen what he says. Now, I didn't write this, but he said in 46:1 of Ezekiel, thus saith the Master Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. What are you talking about there, 6 working days? Now listen, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. Oh, the Sabbath must not be one of the 6 working days.
Oh, wait a minute.
On the day of the new moon it shall be open.
Oh.
It must not be one of the 6 working days. Well, when will 6 working days begin? They always begin after the weekly Sabbath or after the day of the new moon. Because, see, at the end of each month, you have the 29th day, which we believe to be a Sabbath. Then you have the new moon day. The gates are open for worship. But notice he said, Brother Buddy, he didn't just say work day. He said 6 working days. So that's representing the 6 working days that follows the Sabbath or the day of the new moon. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Listen, a lot of people don't think. But did you know from one Sabbath to the next is 8 days?
That is correct.
Now listen, I had a brother argue with me. He said, no. He said it's 7 days. I said, listen, it took me a good while, but I finally got it through him. I said, no, from Sabbath to Sabbath. You know, when Isaiah said from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another,
right,
all flesh come worship.
Right.
Well, I said, no, it's 8 days from Sabbath to Sabbath. It's 8 days from new moon to Sabbath is an 8 day. And he said, that it's not right. I said, well, here's how I convinced him. I said, okay, on your Roman calendar, I said, you got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I said, that's 7 days. I said, how many days is that? He said, seven. From Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he said, 7 days. I said, well, if it's 7 days from Sunday to Saturday, how many days is it from Saturday to Saturday? In other words, 7 days from Sunday to Saturday, how many days is it from Saturday to Saturday, from Sabbath to Sabbath?
Right.
And he took, you know, it took me about 30 minutes to get him to see it. So if you got, and it's recorded in Josephus, he said the priest, they took turns, from Sabbath to Sabbath, he said 8 days. Well, anyhow, if from Sabbath to Sabbath is 8 days, then from new moon to Sabbath is 8 days. So you keep the seventh day on the 8th day of the month. But let me read it one more time, then I'll let you go. Listen. He said, the gates of the inner court that look toward it shall be shut the 6 working days.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. That tells us that there's 3 categories of days. You've got Sabbath, new moon, and you've got working days, 6 working days. Well, you know, the Sabbath and the working day can't occupy the same 24-hour space of time at the same time. It just, you can't have, I was talking to a brother today, and he asked a good question, and he said he's been knowing about lunar Sabbath, but he never really tried to see what we was talking about
for right.
10 or 12 years, but he wanted me to explain it to him. And I said, well, look here, brother. I said, this is what it is. I said, people are not, they're counting the new moon worship day as one of the 6 work days. He said, well, can't the gate still be open and still be counted as work day? I said, no, because that's just like saying, can't the gate be open on the Sabbath and count it as an ordinary work day? In other words, what's good for one is good for the other because they're both here.
Right.
Both of them are worship days. Now, after your weekly Sabbath, you got 6 work days. All right, after your new moon, you have 6 work days. And then when you rest, if you take 6 work days after your weekly Sabbath and rest the 7th day, it'll be the 8th day from that Sabbath. And if you take and work 6 days after your new moon worship day and rest the 7th day, it'll be the 8th day from the new moon. So people will build a straw man, and they'll try to tell people we don't believe in resting on the 7th day. And then they'll attack it, and then they'll quote scripture where he rested the 7th day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deny that. We believe that with all our heart.
Yes, we do.
But what we're trying to show them is that Yahweh said, this ain't Ezekiel, this is thus saith Yahweh, that he said, you've got Sabbath, and you've got new moons, and you've got the 6 working days. Well, you cannot have a Sabbath fall on a work day or vice versa. And you can't have a new moon fall on one of these 6 work days, because how could the priest, well, let's say if you was there and he said, buddy, I want you and Arnold, I want you to open these gates on the new moons and Sabbath, but I don't want them open on the 6 work days. And then all of a sudden, here comes the new moon. All right, that's a worship day.
Correct.
Now, we can't open the gate and shut it at the same time. It's got to be either one or the other, either or. It can't be a Sabbath and a work day at the same time. It can't be a new moon and a work day at the same time, because he separated them.
Correct.
And if people can get this in their head, this is why when the Sabbath was made known to Moses over there, it was on, he didn't count the new moon. See, the new moon is a day all by itself.
Yes, it is.
It's a worship day. It's not one of the 6 work days. Your first work day of the week comes on the 2nd day of the month. And this is why everywhere in Scripture you can pinpoint a weekly Sabbath, it's always on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. This is why we can offer a $10,000 reward. See, they never give no examples of where a Sabbath failed. Now, if they could give one place where a weekly Sabbath fell on a day that wasn't on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, we'd give them $10,000 reward, and we'd shut our mouths, sit down, and shut up.
There you go, brother.
But challenge them to debate us on it, and we'll pay for the airtime. But they don't. They got no commerce.
Amen.
They want to say what they got to say and try to do it, but they don't want to answer no questions. You got preachers like this all over. They want to answer no questions. Listen here. Let me give you foundation, and I'll try to hook. Yahweh clearly said in his word that the Sabbath is a moed, or a feast. Then he turned around and he said he appointed or made the moon for Sabbaths or moeds. Now, if the moon is for moeds and the weekly Sabbath is a moed, that should end the debate. They should be finding out how to do it.
Amen, brother. Amen.
They try to find out to prove him wrong, and they say it's false doctrine. Well, if it's false doctrine, he started it.
Amen.
And so you can't call him teaching false doctrine. He's the creator of day.
Yes, he is. He created.
They say, but brother, how can this? Look, nature itself, I can prove by nature. Look, you look on a Roman calendar, they don't have the correct beginning of a year. They got a beginning, you know, the dead of winter, so the January, they got January 1st to the month of green ears in springtime when everything's given for a fire. So they don't have the beginning of a year. It's ending and beginning, right? They don't have the beginning of month in on that calendar, it, beginning and ending, right? They don't have the beginning of a day, which they start 12 minutes, beginning and ending, right? What makes you think they got the week right?
Amen, brother.
But yet they believe the week, oh, it's okay. Why would the devil let that get by?
Appreciate it, brother. Amen.
Think about this. Why in the world they got the month just 30, 31 days that don't got nothing to do with nature? And the year, January 1st, got nothing to do with nature because you have it, the vernal equinox shall have equal days and night. And then you got the day beginning at 12 midnight. There's nothing in nature. I can't sit there beside you and punch you at 12 midnight and say, hey, a day, one day just ended, another began. That is an artificial measurement of time.
Amen.
True time is found in nature. You've got the four phases of the moon there to show you and beacon you his appointment, including his weekly appointment.
Amen.
That's what Psalm 104:19 says. He said he appointed the moon a season. That word season is moed. When you look over in Genesis 1:14, day four, it says he made, and that same word made is the same word as appointed.
Right.
He appointed the moon on day four for moed, appointment. Well, you look at Leviticus 23:2-3, he said, these are my moeds, a feast. He used the same word as seasons, but he's using it as feast, but it's the same identical word. And he said, these are my feasts. And then he tells you what they are. They come after 6 weeks.
Amen.
That's for the whole year. But then he goes on to explain how in the first month, on the 15th day, which is a moed, that you have a feast for 7 days. And you know, I can show you in Scripture. Matter of fact, I showed that brother today. Well, that the Scripture actually calls the 15th the seventh day. You know where it's at?
Right.
Listen, there in Leviticus 23, that word feast is kog in Hebrew.
That is correct.
It's a kog, and it's always on the 15th, and it goes for 7 days. Now, listen to this. In Exodus 13, verse 6, it says the kog is on the seventh day. In other words, a lot of people used to think, or still do, think that that's talking about the seventh day of the feast. No, the seventh day of the feast has never been called a cog. It's
no,
talking
it's,
about the 15th.
There you go. And that's the eighth day.
It's just like tabernacles. When you keep the first day on the 15th, he said, and then the eighth day is the holy convocation.
Amen.
But that eighth day is the seventh day of the week.
Amen. Preach
it. You know,
preach it, bro.
You know, it amazes me. But let me say this. I was going to give you something in nature. Now, listen to this. And I guess all this is going on tape, right?
You got it right, brother.
All right. With an artificial count of the beginning and ending of a year, month, week, and day. Well, days, of course, they say the week's right on that calendar. But let's say you got artificial count here. And it's not as true. Nothing found in nature to support it. It's man-made. Well, with that artificial man-made calendar, you've got to have a man-made starting point. In other words, you can't use the moon for your starting point for the 6 workday. So you've got to have a starting point. So what they do, they take what is called the international dateline.
Oh.
And it's man-made, and they can put it anywhere they want it.
That's correct.
They've got it out in the Pacific Ocean where it don't cause too much trouble, but yet it still causes trouble. They've moved it a couple of times. You need to read our book. We got an article in there on it.
Yes, you have.
On lunar proof that the true moon was established by the moon. But anyhow, this dateline, what it does, on one side of the street, let's say it comes through a town or something, on one side of the street, like it might be Saturday the 1st, but on the other side of the street, it's Sunday the 2nd. This was with their count. We don't have this problem with lunar Sabbaths, but now listen to this. How can the day be holy on this side of the street, and then you walk back across the street? Let's say it's on an island, got two islands, and they're watching the same sunrise. Both of these islands watching the same sunrise. Well, on this island right here, the day's holy on the same sun, but it ain't holy right here, and they're both right there together. So this right here in itself, now, with lunar Sabbaths, you're watching the same sun. It's the same day, and the moon and all that, the same day, and you keep the same Sabbath. But with theirs, you got problems, big problems. Just like the Jericho March, you got big problems. But if they would ever stop and think, well, could the weeks have recently been lunar by the phases of the moon?
There you go. They don't even consider it.
The Jews even admitted themselves. And Philo, who a Levite priest who lived at that time, was chosen to go to Rome to represent the people over the persecution. They wouldn't have chosen if he didn't keep the same week, the Sabbath as the Messiah and the rest of them. So there's no controversy in the New Testament scriptures of the Jews and the Messiah keeping a different weekly Sabbath. So this shows when Philo kept lunar Sabbath, and he said, like, there's a full moon at the end of the second week, showing that the week's connected to the moon. This proves the Messiah and his apostles kept lunar Sabbath.
You got it right, friend.
I'm about out of breath. You talk a lot.
Well, you know, Arnold, you just nailed this thing down pat with Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, you emphasize that the gate had to be open on the new moon.
Right.
All right.
Set on the work days. That can't be both.
Okay. Now, let's go to Leviticus. Now, you just established the fact that the new moon was a gate open. That's the door, right?
Right.
That's a window of time. Okay, now, we know that the next time it would to be open was 6 working days after the new moon date. Then we stop at that day. Now, let me prove to you it's on the 8th day. Listen to this now. This is in Ezekiel chapter, or Leviticus chapter 23, where you were just quoting from. But this is the 36th verse, which you didn't quote. 7 days. Now listen to this now. And then you explain this, Brother Arnold. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 8th day. Now listen to this now. And some people say, well, the creation calendar didn't give us an 8th day. Like you say, they're using the wrong measurement of time when they're trying to get the establishment that the Father rested on the 7th day, which is what we're trying to prove right here. 7 days you shall make an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 8th day, it is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no regular work. Now, remember that he said you work 6 days after the new moon, and then the gate is shut, correct?
Well, the gate is shut the 6 workdays, then the gate is open after the 6 workdays.
That is correct. All right, now, let's go back in and put this in a mathematical.
It's the 8th day of the moon, but go ahead.
All right, we're going to put this in the 8th day a mathematical formula here again. All right, new moon is day 1. All right? Now, on that day, it didn't say that day was a Sabbath, but he said in Numbers 29:1, you shall blow the trumpet in the new moon, and you shall do no servile work. It is the day of blowing the trumpet. Now, that's on the seventh month and the first day. Now then, they worked 6 days. We know that after the new moon, they worked 6 days. And now he says, the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. You were trying to argue with that brother, and it took you how long, Brother Arnold, to get him to see your point?
Well, I told him from new moon to Sabbath, or from Sabbath to Sabbath, 8 days. And it took me... Maybe a good 30 minutes of real hard debate. And I had to really get him slowed down enough. He said, no, it's 7 days. I had to get him slowed down to count from Sunday to Saturday was 7 days. I said, well, that's Sunday to Saturday, 7 days. Then from Saturday to Saturday has to be 8 days.
Amen. Now listen.
Finally, I had to tell him that 2 or 3 times and drawing it out on the dirt there. He had to concede. He hated to.
Sound
like it almost hurt him.
It hurt me when I heard it because, I mean, I was so deeply involved in Saturday as a Sabbath that I couldn't see the trees for the forest, and it took someone like yourself and Brother Lamb. You remember when we got started, Brother Lamb was a big assistance to us, and I believe that you still speak with him, Brother Arnold.
Talk to another day.
All right. Now, listen to this one. Leviticus... let me go back to Leviticus 14:10. People that don't know anything about the eighth day and say it don't exist is just out of the Bible. I mean, it's...
Well, they hadn't really studied. What they're doing, they're answering the matter before they hear it. Yeah, I've tried for years to get some of these brothers to sit down. Matter of fact, one of them admitted he'll sit down with me here coming up pretty soon.
Praise y'all.
And make sure he understands how we believe.
That's
it.
All.
They don't really understand how we believe it.
Listen what the scripture says. Come, let us reason together. Now, listen to this, Leviticus 14:23. On the eighth day, the man that was to be cleansed shall bring for his cleansing to the priest. Now, remember, you said that the door opened only on the new moon and the Sabbath, correct?
Right.
Okay. On the eighth day, he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest. To the door. Now remember, if it's closed, he couldn't have bought it, right?
Okay.
That'd be a work day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But on the eighth day, it was a day of the priest would open the door of the tent of the meeting before Yahweh. So who was standing in that door, Brother Arnold? In reality, it was the high priest who represented Yahweh. And right here he says, bring it on the eighth day for his cleansing. Now listen to this one. 15:14 Leviticus. On the eighth day, he shall take two turtle doves. Now, this is a different sin, but it was an offering. On the eighth day, and two young pigeons, and come before Yahweh to the door of the tent of the meeting to give to the priest. Now, the priest couldn't be standing in the door if the door was closed on the eighth day. It was open to receive him. Well, go back again, Arnold, and let's let the folks remember that in Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, that you were quoting for our gestalt, our foundation of understanding to the Scriptures. And we need, like you say, we need to reason together. We want to get mad at each other, and we want to fuss and fight and kick. No, you can't kick on the Word unless, it's like the Apostle Paul. Remember when he was kicking against the pricks? In other words, the pricks was the inspiration of the heart when he was killing those fellows back there for calling on the name of Yahweh, which he thought was too sacred to be uttered. The spirit was moving on. Well, there's nothing wrong with these men. These men are honoring the Creator. Well, that was a pricks that Yahweh was giving him, but Yahweh had to give him the Damascus Road experience by knocking him off his high horse, so to speak. And if people keep stiffening their neck and hardening their heart, the Bible said, number one, they'd be cut off without remedy. So we don't want that to happen to anybody, so we warn people that they're fighting against the very thing that they need to set the correct times. Now, go back to Ezekiel 46:1, Arnold, and after you do that, I'm going to read you some more scriptures on the eighth day.
I'm here.
All right. This is Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39. Now, listen to this one. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land. Now, on the 15th day, You shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days, and on the first day shall be a solemn rest. Listen to this now. Alright. And on the eighth day shall be what?
A solemn sin. Now that's the Sabbath.
There you go. Now, is that the formula of Ezekiel 46:1?
Exactly.
Now,
you know, Aaron and his sons, I can show you in the scriptures where they begin their sanctification on the new moon day. That's when Moses reared up the tabernacle on the new moon day.
They were to stay at the door of the tent.
For 7 days.
Let me give you the scripture.
Nobody else was going in on 7 days, but that 7 days, when it ended, would be the seventh day of the month. But then on the next day, which is he said would be an assembly, which would be on the weekly Sabbath, as the seventh day rest, the eighth day of the month.
All right, now you're talking about, let me give them the folks a scripture, and then you quote it again, and let's emphasize this. You know, Arnold, we're giving scriptural facts, and other people just say, you better watch out over on our side with this false doctrine, and here we offer a $10,000 reward for anybody can prove the Sabbath other than 8:15, 22, and 29.
Yeah.
By the Ezekiel formula, we're giving examples here, and here you just give one about the high priest, and that was Aaron, and that's in the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 1, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Exodus chapter 40, verse 1.
Okay.
Now, go ahead and explain that one more time.
Well, Yahweh told them to bring his sons there and sanctify them there at the door of the tabernacle, and it was on the first day of the month when they done this, and they were to sanctify them for 7 days. Then on the eighth day, which would be a weekly Sabbath, then the congregation gathered, you know. So that's what day they gathered, on the seventh day of the week, but it's the eighth day of the month. But
there you go.
Say this, brother, buddy. Here's a key. We got to, if all of us keep talking about the seventh day. Now, we believe y'all were rested the seventh day of the week. They believe he rested the seventh day of the week.
Right.
We're trying to find out. If the commandment says, keep that commandment, and it tells that you got commandments, statutes, and judgments, and the judgment says if you don't keep it, you're going to be cut off.
That's correct.
Well, the statute will tell you how to find it. So, but what they do is they believe the commandment can be found in the Bible to do it. And the judgment of what happened to you if you don't do it is found in the Bible. But you got to go ask some blind, leading the blind or some denomination or organization when to begin to count the 6 work days. Well, we don't have to do that. We go to Ezekiel and see what he said. He said the 6 work days, in a nutshell, comes after your weekly Sabbath or after your new moon.
Right.
Worship days. So you got these worship days. When they're over, then you got your 6 work days. Okay. But what I was going to say is this. If we want to find out and talk about the seventh day, we need to go get some a precedent. We need to look somewhere to find a precedent of what is the definition of a seventh day rest. Now listen to this carefully. This
okay.
is important.
All right.
You got a precedent there in Genesis 1. Where he rested the seventh day. Well, what is the seventh day? It comes after 6 work days. Now, listen carefully. Now, they got a seventh day. They just count 1 through 7 over and over and over, and nothing breaks it up. This is what they got. Let me show you.
Okay.
The Day of Atonement breaks it up.
That's a tenth day of the month, right?
Exactly right. But now, listen. You cannot have...
A continuous...
Let's say their Sabbath falls on the Day of Atonement, or even the next day after the Day of Atonement.
All right.
Or 2 days after the Day of Atonement. Well, the way they're doing this, you cannot have a seventh day rest after working 2 days. Let's say that their Sabbath falls 3 days after the Day of Atonement. They work 2 days in between.
Okay.
How can that be a seventh day rest? You've got no precedent. That's not a scriptural definition of a seventh day.
That's correct.
I even tell people that the 15th in the seventh month is not a weekly seventh day because of that same reason. But what we do, we'll work from the 10th, we'll work the 9th, 10th, 11th, we'll work the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, but he tells us to rest on the 15th.
There you go.
Well, I tell him, I say, that's not a seventh. That's not a...
That ain't a 7 continuous work
days. It's the 5th day rest after working 4 days.
There you go.
But it's commanded there, and if you follow the instructions there, it'll straighten itself back out because Then you'll work on the eighth day, you know, from there.
Right.
You'll have 6 work days and then rest the 7th day on that 8th day.
Correct.
But here's, now let me finish my point, the definition. I challenge anybody. See, the new moon breaks up. See, all days are just ordinary days unless the creator of days specifies otherwise. And if you'll go to Leviticus 23 and just follow them instructions and don't add to and don't take away.
Amen.
All you weekly Sabbaths of being on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, throughout the whole year.
Amen.
Day,
amen.
Starting in the 7th month, you got your new moon worship day. Well, you got nothing to say that you can't work the next 6 days, but you can't go over 6 days because the instruction says, you know, you rest the 7th day after 6 work days. That's what a 7th day rest is.
That's exactly right.
You rest on the 8th. You would rest after your new moon, you'd work 6 days and rest on the 8th day of the month, which would be the 7th day of the week. And then, on the 9th, you would have a preparation for the 10th, because you're not going to work on the 10th. The 10th breaks up them work days, and because he broke them up. I've had people ask me, they said, well, what about, see, the book of Jubilees breaks up. You know, you got 7 years. You got 6 years that you sow the field, but you're supposed to let the land rest the 7th year, right?
Correct.
Well, if you do that 7 times, which is 49 years, on that 49th year or 7th year, you have a back-to-back rest because what they call the Jubilees. So you have 2 back-to-back rests, the land rest, 2 years in a row, and then you start planting again after them 2 back-to-back years are over.
Correct.
And you start planting. Same way with New Moon. At the last Sabbath each month, you have a rest, and then you have a back-to-back rest. The gates to be open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon before you start back on your 6 work day.
Amen, brother.
The same way with the year of Jubilee. It breaks up the count. It breaks up the counts of 7s. You got 7 7s of years, and then you got a back-to-back land rest. The 50th year breaks it up.
Awesome.
Then you start on the 1st year again.
Amen. I got you, brother. And it's the only mathematical system that works on, and it can only work on a lunar application of the master's hand, the great mathematician that he is, but on his wisdom had this figured out from the very word go. Listen to this scripture, Brother Arnold, to comment on that. This is in Numbers chapter 29, verse 35. Now remember, we quoted Numbers 29 and 1, which he said, blow the trumpet in the new moon and do no servile work. Now listen to this. To prove they work 6 days after the new moon, and you'll come to the 8th day. Listen to this. Numbers 29:35 proves the formula that we're talking about in Ezekiel 46. On the 8th day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. He commanded them to break up that Sabbath or that continuous 7 thing there by commanding not to work on the 8th day. Now, if the 8th day is not a Sabbath, if we go back to a Saturday, the way that these people have tried to defend it, and you brought up the international dateline, well, you brought up the error of the Gregorian calendar, and they have a system. Listen to this system, Arnold, and it is by solar intent. By solar intent, it is a pretty amazing accurate calendar that they came out with Pope Gregory in the 13th century. They have a 3,300-year perfection, and then they get off one day. Now that sounds, man, that's, now we're pitching horseshoe here, Arnold. If we're pitching horseshoe, that's a pretty darn good formula, correct?
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
If we're pitching hand grenades, somebody's going to get blown up on that day that they didn't allow for, correct? So they don't allow for it. But here in Numbers 29:35, on the 8th day you shall have a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work. Well, these people that harp about there's no 8th day scriptures, are we in a Bible, or are we reading out of the Farmer's Almanac? What are we doing here?
Well, what it is, Brother Bud, like I said in the beginning, they just haven't studied. They're trying to defend the doctrine that they were taught, and they're more loyal to their preacher and their organization and their denomination than they are the Scripture. Scripture plainly says the moon is for Moab, and it says the weekly Sabbath is a Moab. This is talking about worship Moab. This ain't talking about a Moab like the stork knows it's Moab, and the Moab. It's talking about worship Moab. And Leviticus 23, he said, these are my feasts. And he said, holy convocation, or in other words, worship Moab. These are feasts of Moab. The first one is the weekly Sabbath. And over there in Genesis 1:14, where he said he appointed the moon for Moab,
mm-hmm.
and the sun and the moon,
mm-hmm.
for days and years and appointments are Moab.
Right.
Only Moab there was the weekly Moab. That moon didn't just sit idle for all them years till they left Egypt, and it's just going to be for leaving Egypt on the 15th and Tabernacles on the 15th, you know?
Yes.
It was for Moab back then. So Adam and them, that's how they, imitators of Yahweh, they rested when he did. And it was the seventh day. But it was the eighth space of time from creation. In other words, he created heaven and earth before he worked on it for 6 days. Over there, you know where Moses said, for in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth? That word made is a different word from created. It didn't take him 6 days to create heaven and earth, because that was created in the Bereshit, or beginning, before he worked on it for 6 days.
That is an awesome truth that most people don't go back there to comprehend and to explain. Now, repeat that one more time for the listening audience.
Okay. Well, what it says, in the Bereshit, or beginning, Yahweh created heaven and earth. That was the first thing he done. That was a yom, or sequence of time. Yom in Hebrew is day. It's a space of time. And it don't mention it there in Genesis, but there was a space of time there when he created heaven and earth. They didn't take him no 6 days to do that. Then he moved on the face of the water. Everything was dark. And he said, let there be light. Now, this is his first work day.
Wait a minute, Arnold. Now, if we're right about their theory, and we're just using their own analogy here, there wasn't no light created till the fourth day. Where'd that light come from?
Well, even the Hebrew scholar Rashi acknowledged that in his commentary on this, and he's a well-respected scholar, he even said you had evening and morning 3 days before day four. He said that just on day four that the sun and moon was placed in the firmament of heaven for a special purpose there, you know.
Yes, sir.
So he's working on his creation. But now listen, when he separated the light from the darkness, it says the light he called day and the darkness he called night. And that word in the Hebrew night is twisting away of the light. So if there wasn't no light to twist away from till day four, see, a lot of people say, well, day four disproves lunar Sabbath. No, it don't. They say, well, if the moon was created, but the Bible don't say the moon was created on day four. It said it was appointed or made.
There you go.
If I make somebody a captain of a team, let's say I'm going to appoint or make somebody a captain of a team, it don't mean they wasn't there for me to appoint or make them captain. And it's the same word over there in Psalms 104:19, where he said he appointed the moon for seasons. That word appointed is the same identical word as made over there. It's two different words. And create is the same word that he said on day four, he made them to rule, he made them to give light, and he made them for a calendar. It's the same word as appointed. He appointed them for this purpose on day four. He could have tweaked his calendar. I don't know. It just not disproved lunar Sabbath. And let's say if the moon was created on day four, that don't make it the first day of the month, because it says the sun was created on day four too.
Oh.
Made on day four, rather.
Right.
Well, that don't make it the first. Day four wasn't the first day of the year and first day of the month.
Oh.
Think about it. The very first day in creation, the Bereshit, the beginning, was the first day of everything. It was the first day of the year and the first day of the month. Okay. What happened is he worked on that creation for 6 days. And then the eighth thing he done was rested on the seventh day after six work days. But it was the eighth space of time, or yom. It was the eighth thing he done. It was, I told last week, Genesis 2:2 proved that, because it said that Yahweh completed his work there on the seventh day, and then he rested the seventh day from his work. Well, if you look at that, He didn't finish up and complete it on the seventh day and rest on the seventh day. It's talking about two different seventh days. What he done, he completed it on the seventh day, which would be the seventh day of the month.
Right.
Or the sixth day of the week, either way.
There you go.
The sixth day of the week. And then when he rested or ceased on the seventh day, it's talking about the seventh day of the week. And people has wondered about that for years because they didn't understand lunar Sabbath. They wonder, how come he's finishing up on the seventh day? We always finish up on the sixth day. Are we holier than he, you know?
Yeah.
But here it says in Genesis 2.
Awesome. Awesome revelation right there, Brother Arnold. If people could just grasp that, it's just like the guy that you were trying to convince down there about the mathematics of counting. Some of these things are so simple that people can't grasp them.
It's hidden in simplicity, that's right. Well, like you asked about Brother Lamb, I was talking to him the other day, and I was sharing a revelation, and I'll share it with this about the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
It actually proves Lunar Sabbath, too. You said, how in the world? I have people accuse me of everything I look at proves Lunar Sabbath. But, you know, the Day of Atonement, I believe, proves Lunar Sabbath, too. Not only the date line, we can prove it mathematically, but see if this makes sense to you, and I think I mentioned it to you, but what does the Day of Atonement commemorate? I kept asking myself that for years and years, and I just couldn't never figure out nothing. I know a future of the atonement that he came and made, but what did it commemorate when he told there the children of Israel that it's a Day of Atonement, and he wanted in the seventh month on the tenth day? First, he said, I want you to commemorate that new moon day. In other words, he said it's a memorial of shouting. That word shouting, same word with Job when they shouted, when Yahweh created heaven and earth, it says a memorial of blowing of trumpets. But when you look at word up there, trumpet, it goes back to over there, Job, where the sons of Yahweh shouted when plotted his handiwork when he created heaven and earth.
Right, right.
So it's a memorial of creation. It's just done in the seventh month because you got enough memorials coming right there in the first month on leaving Egypt and this and that and other. But anyhow, he said also on the 10th day of this month, the same month that creation happened in, he said it's a Day of Atonement. And it occurred to me that there was an atonement made on the 10th day in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that tabernacles commemorates on the 15th of unleavened bread, leaving Egypt. Dwelling in booths, and then the 15th, the first month, commemorates the unleavened bread. And, you know, all of these days commemorate something, just like the new moon day commemorates the creation of heaven and earth. That's why they kept the new moon, commemorated heaven and earth creation. But then after that, you had six work days, and then you commemorate his rest, that he rested on the seventh day. You commemorate that on the eighth day of the month, because it was the seventh day of the week that he rested. And listen to this. But what did the Day of Atonement? So I went back and looked, and sure enough, I'll show you how the Day of Atonement disproves the traditional Sabbath. I went back and looked, and guess what? What happened on the ninth day is when Adam and Eve fell, and on the tenth, the ninth day at Eden, they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden, that they were tempted with Satan, and they yielded there on the ninth day, and he said, what have you done? He said, we hid and we was naked, and y'all know the story. And he told you he was naked. So he made an atonement and made them coats of skin. See, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin there in Hebrews. And he's talking about these animals. And that covered their nakedness until the Messiah come, the Lamb of Yahweh that take away the sin of the world that the first man Adam brought upon us. So there had to be atonement made for Adam and Eve, their sin. And Yahweh made it there on the 10th day. And he said it's a Day of Atonement. And you commemorate it. And it happened on the 10th day of creation. Because if you go back there and look, you'll see that 3 and 1 of Genesis, it said now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was when he come to him, it was on the ninth day that he come to him.
You're talking about the serpent.
The serpent that come to him on the ninth day, and he said he tempted and beguiled Eve, and they eat of the fruit. And then that same day, same ninth day, at evening, remember he said from evening to evening you keep the Sabbath, the Day of Atonement?
Right.
That same day at evening is when Yahweh, they heard his voice there in the garden and they hid themselves, and that's when he atoned for their sins right at the end of the ninth day, on the tenth day, and it's a day that afflicts your soul, it's a sad day for mankind, And it's the only feast day, he said, the flickies that spells there from the ninth day at evening. This is when he was in the cool of day. But it was the ninth day of creation. And guess what? If with their Sabbath, they would have had, Satan would have had to tempt them on the eighth day, and then the ninth day would have been the Day of Atonement. But that ain't the way it was. The tenth day commemorates the Day of Atonement. That's when he made them coats of skin, covered their neck, and it's
the
time that he would send his only begotten son to die and truly, you know, atone for sin.
Okay, now.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, it makes sense. Oh, gosh, that's a wonderful revelation, Brother Arnold. Let me ask you a question right here, because we know that in the Feast of Passover, the tenth day is the day that you put up the lamb. Well, we know in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 19, they went across the Jordan on the 10th day.
Right.
And they were circumcised on the 10th day, it said. And that was the 10th day that they received the circumcision. And so we go to Tabernacles, as you say, the 10th day is the Atonement Day. Both of those are recognized.
All of this is significant.
Is very significant. Now, listen to this, Brother Arnold. Here's you something to think about, because you gave me a thought right here on the ninth day that Satan made the approach to Eve, and the tenth day there was an atonement made for Adam and Eve. Did you know that Lucifer had nine covering stones in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 13? He had nine covering stones. Now, let me show you the ones that he didn't have. There were three tribes listed of the stones that he didn't have. One of them was the stone that is ascribed to Asher. The other is the stone ascribed to Joseph. And the other is the stone ascribed to Issachar. Now, if he could have got those three stones as a covering, he would have been the ruler. Wasn't that what he wanted to do anyway?
You know what? I'm just looking at the clock. We're getting on over there to time sure does fly when you're having fun.
Oh,
right?
It does. But you better give your email.
Let me give my website. Go and ask for our free book too. Proof that the true weekly Sabbaths are determined by the moon. You can ask for our tape, 7001 Reasons Why His Name Wasn't Jesus. And anyhow, the website that you can go to is www.lunarsabbath.info. Just remember lunarsabbath.info, and it'll come up. Go over and look at some of the stuff I hadn't posted up there, but I've got enough up there for any honest truth seeker to see that the true weekly Sabbath are by the moon. Or you can write or call us. My phone number, area code is 770. Phone number is 483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. And remember, it's so simple. It's hidden in simplicity. He clearly says the Sabbath is a Moed, the weekly Sabbath, and the moon is for Moed. It's a Moed just like what they call the annual Moed. And these are my feasts, he said, are Moed. So they're trying to prove that the weekly Sabbath ain't a Moed. And it ain't by the moon. And he said he appointed the moon for Moab. They're trying to prove that wrong.
That's right. They're coming against it.
They're not fighting against me and Brother Betty. They're fighting against Yahweh.
That's right, brother. Amen. And that's a warning that you just sent out to all those that would do so. Because if you won't heed the word, Brother Arnold, if you want to keep your tradition, and Christ talked about it, full well you reject my word to keep the tradition, and that's what we got going on. Well, tonight, folks, Brother Arnold, and part two of this series on the Sabbath, we would like for you to have it. We will do the last part of that on Friday night. We'll be on at 9:30, Brother Arnold, and we could go next week if you'd like to, and we'd get over into Pentecost. If you could join me next week, we could take up the series of Pentecost, but we could still synchronize the Sabbath into the Pentecost teaching,
right,
and give them both of these wonderful dates and times.
We started on Pentecost, it proves Lunar Sabbath without a shadow of a doubt. Pentecost and Lunar Sabbath both is one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture.
Amen.
Hard to get people to look at.
Yes, it is. Well, folks, if you'd like to write us tonight and you're interested in Brother Arnold's teaching on the Sabbath, just write for his booklet on the Sabbath kept by the lunar. We've got examples. We don't just talk. We walk the walk. And we give you scriptures and purposes and intentions by the Creator Himself. And like Brother Arnold said, if you reject this, you're rejecting the teaching of Yahweh. He stands in the door ready for you on the eighth day if you want to go there.
We like to call it the creation Sabbath more than the lunar Sabbath. I do it, lunar Sabbath people's familiar with, but it's actually the creation Sabbath back in Genesis 1:14. And that's when, it goes all the way back to creation.
Most certainly does. Folks, you can call Pastor Buddy tonight if you'd like to. I'm live here with Brother Arnold WWRB. It's 3.185, and it's Clear Channel, and we're around the world. We're being simulcast around the world. We got people listening in foreign countries that are listening to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy and Brother Arnold tonight, and they're listening to us, like I say. And we're live on June the 10th. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Just get my telephone number and call me. You can write me if you'd like to. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And my website is oneyahweh.com. Well, Brother Arnold, it's been a joy to be with you tonight, and many blessings to you down that way. And may Yahweh's richest blessings be with those that would honor His ways and keep His word and enter into life. Because the Bible said if you want to enter into life, all you got to do is keep His commandments. And His commandments, Brother Arnold, are not grievous. They're easy to be kept. And if we would just surrender to our King and bless His great name, I believe that they will be a blessing to come.
All right, well, I appreciate you having me, too.
Yahweh bless you, Brother Arnold. Good night, folks, and let's go to the mountaintop.
All earth was true. Only you know me. I'm afraid. Go rest high on the mountain.